Now, please, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that I read a little earlier, Psalm 33, and we're looking this morning at the verses from 13 to 22 in the Pew Bibles. It's page 463, 463, Psalm 33 from verse 13. We began looking at this psalm a few weeks ago, and I pointed out then that the theme of this psalm is found in the first two verses. And in those verses, the psalmist says to God's people, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the righteous. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts." So this psalm was written specifically to give a certain instruction, indeed a certain command to God's people. God's people in this psalm are commanded to praise him, to worship him, to sing to him, indeed to shout for joy in the Lord. That's exactly what the words are saying. Not just give thanks to the Lord, not just speak words to the Lord, but shout to the Lord in joy, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Now why? Why should we as God's people bring praises to him? Why should we come to God with hearts filled with praise, filled with thanksgiving? Why should it be the case that our hearts are so filled with thanksgiving that we're unable to control ourselves, we're unable just to speak or even just to sing, we're actually so moved that we're to shout to the Lord? Why should that be? Well, you remember that when we began to look at it from verse 4, we saw that from verse 4, the psalmist gives us the reasons. Notice that verse 4 begins with the word "for," because. So, verses 1 to 3, you have the command, "Shout to the Lord." And then from verse 4, the reasons. And the last few weeks, from verse 4, we've been looking at the reasons why we are to be a thankful people, a joyful people, a praising people. Well, this morning we're looking at verses 13 to 22. And the theme of these verses is salvation. We are to give thanks to God because he has saved us. We know that these verses speak about salvation because of the words that are used in these verses. It's a very interesting passage because there's all kinds of words that the writer uses to describe salvation. You could almost do a study on the doctrine of salvation by looking at the various words here. Look at it from verse 16. You've got there the word "saved." The king is not saved by his great army. And then in verse 16 again, you've got the word "delivered." A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. In verse 17, you've got the word "salvation," and you've got the word "rescue." Verse 19, you've again got the word "deliver," and you've got the phrase "keep alive." All these are sort of synonyms, another way of talking about salvation. All these phrases and words that are there, they're telling us that we are to bring praises to God because he's a saving God and because he has saved us. This morning I want to remind you of your salvation, and my purpose in doing this is so that when you leave this place, you do so with hearts filled with praise. If you don't do that, I will have failed in my task. I want you to go out from this place rejoicing and giving thanks to God for your salvation. Notice how those opening verses of my passage this morning speaks about God looking down. And that was a very helpful family talk, because it is that sort of language. The lifeguard is there on the beach, and the lifeguard has a high position, and the lifeguard has his binoculars, and the lifeguard isn't just sitting there eating ice cream. The lifeguard always has his binoculars trained. They're not there to enjoy themselves. They're there to look out for people in trouble and to save them. And so they're always keeping an eye on the beach and on the people on the beach. And that's the kind of language that the psalmist talks about from verse 13. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. What does he see when he looks out? Well, he sees people in trouble. That's what he sees. He sees people in sin. Because of course, every time God looks upon the earth, he sees those who are in their sin. And that is why this passage is speaking about salvation. Now, when we look at it particularly from verse 16, there are three things in this passage that the Bible teaches us. I want to bring them to your attention this morning. Three things particularly from verse 16. And the first is this. We are not saved by our own efforts. We are not saved by our own efforts. We are looking at the Bible's teaching on salvation. And the first thing it teaches there from 16 and 17. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. A war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. This is all poetic language. It's all picture language. It's speaking about how a person is saved, how a person is right with God. And the psalmist first deals with the negative, and he says it is not by our own effort. Do you know, actually, this is a great reason to rejoice. This is a great reason to give thanks to God. When you go back to verse 1, shout for joy in the Lord. When you look at these verses, they should actually make a shout for joy in the Lord, that my salvation is not by my efforts. Aren't you glad of that today? If you know yourself, if you know what you are like, you know the kind of things that you get up to, you know the thoughts that you have, the words that you speak, and the things that you do. Surely we must all rejoice in this, that God is not saying to us, you must save yourself. God isn't saying that. God isn't saying to us, you must try harder, you must work harder, you must do your best, you must be a decent person, a moral person, a religious person, a good person, a kind person. You must do good to everybody. You must do good to anybody that you meet, all the people in need. You must do good, you must do good, you must do good. And when I've looked at you and I've seen that you've done good and you've done your best and you've done your very, very best, then as a reward, I will allow you into heaven. God is not saying that, because we cannot do it. I've mentioned this before. One of my children is a lifesaver. He took lessons in saving life at a swimming pool. And he was taught what lifeguards are taught. The lifeguard is seated there on the beach, and the lifeguard trains his binoculars, and he sees a person in trouble. The person has got into deep water, and they're not a confident swimmer. And they're just about, they're flapping about and frantically, just about keeping their head above water. And the lifeguard can see that. And they're not very far out. So the lifeguard goes down the ladder and goes immediately to that person. Now when they get there, the first thing they always say, the first thing is, stop flapping, stop moving your arms, stay still. If you're flapping your arms frantically, you're kicking your legs frantically, you make rescue very, very difficult for me, because I have to drag you back to the beach. But if you're frantically kicking and moving your arms, well, that makes my life very difficult. Stop, all this frantic kicking and waving your arms. Trust in me, I will take you back. That's the first thing a lifesaver is taught. Don't try and save yourself, but leave it with me. I will sort it out, is what the lifeguard is saying. Now, I appreciate a lifeguard doesn't always succeed. And, you know, if a lifeguard, I can't swim. And if a lifeguard were to say to me, trust in me, I would have enormous problems with that because, of course, we're all human beings. But when God looks down from heaven and sees all the children of men, from where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth and he sees us in our sins. God says, you cannot save yourself. Regardless of how much effort you make, you cannot save yourself. Can I say this to you this morning? If you are not a Christian and you're not born again, you don't know what it means to be saved. Can I say this to you? You will never enter heaven by your own efforts. God isn't saying to you, try and get into heaven by your efforts. He's not saying that. God isn't saying to you, here is the law, do your very best to keep it, and I will grade you. And if you get 8 out of 10, well, all right, I'll let you in. God isn't saying that. You cannot enter heaven by your own efforts. You cannot do it. If you're trying to do that this morning, I say to you, do what the lifeguard says to the person in trouble. Stop trying. You can't do it. That's the first thing that we are taught here. And as I say, I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad God isn't saying to me this morning, do your best to earn a place in heaven. I can't. If he were to say that to me, my first response would be, well, that's it then. I can't enter heaven. That's it. My place in heaven is gone. We can't do it. But then the second lesson from this psalm is this, that we are saved by Christ alone. We are saved by Christ alone. Look at verses 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death, and keep them alive in famine. Do you notice the contrast between verses 16 and 17 and 18 and 19? 16 and 17 is about men's efforts, the king and his great army, the warrior and his strength, the war horse, and it's all about man and his efforts. But then the psalmist in verses 18 and 19 takes his eyes off men and their efforts, and he fixes his eyes on the Lord. And he says to his hearers, he says, I want you to shout for joy in the Lord because the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death. Well, if salvation isn't by my good works, if I don't enter heaven by my own efforts, how then do I enter heaven? Well, the answer of the Bible is here, and it is on just about every page of the Bible. It is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Old Testament constantly points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the New Testament then opens up the teachings of the Old Testament, develops all the teaching of the Old Testament, and reveals Christ. And the New Testament, indeed the whole Bible, tells us that there is only one way of salvation. It is not works, it is faith. It is not my efforts, it is Christ's efforts. It is not my works, it's Christ's works. And trusting in Christ's works, he does the works. I'm in the water, I can't swim. And I'm flapping about, and the lifeguard sees me, and the lifeguard comes out. And all I have to do is rest. I'm told that the more you relax your body, the less you're frantic you are and the more relaxed you are, the easier you are to rescue. And all I have to do in that water is to rest in the person who is going to rescue me. The more relaxed I am, the less frantic I am, the more likely I am to be saved. Well, God says to us in Christ, He says, He looks down from heaven and sees the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He sees the sin that we do. He sees the problems that sin has brought. And He sends His Son into the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That was His specific reason for coming. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary to save sinners. Christ's death on the cross of Calvary is where salvation is secured. It's the only place where salvation is secured. Jesus died and took our sins upon Himself and paid the penalty for our sins and cleared our debt and removed our guilt. And Jesus shed His blood upon the cross to cleanse us from the uncleanness of sin. And Christ shed His blood to redeem us from slavery to sin. Christ died on the cross to remove the anger of God that rested justly upon us. Christ died to save. It is His works, His efforts, His offerings that save us and not ourselves. And this is why we can shout for joy in the Lord. If my salvation was in my own hands, my own efforts, I could never shout for joy in the Lord. The best I could do is fear and hope. Those who are seeking to work for their salvation, those who are taught your works will save you, never have joy. You can't have joy. All they can do is fear and hope, constantly hope that they've done enough. God will be pleased with them. Their works will be sufficient. That's all they can do is fear and hope. Oh, but if our salvation rests in another, not in ourselves, it rests in Christ, the perfect Savior, the man who was fully God and fully man, the one who was sent from heaven to be our Savior, the one who did come to save, and the one who does save. If our hope rests in Him, we're not resting in ourselves. I don't have to fear, will I get in? Will I squeeze in? Will I be good enough? All I know is that Christ is good enough, and all that Christ has done is acceptable to the Father, and God has accepted the sacrifice of Christ on my behalf, and He has forgiven me my sins because I've trusted in Christ and you've trusted in Christ. Your sins are gone. You can shout for joy in the Lord. O you righteous. Do you notice verse 1? O you righteous. We looked at this when we began the psalm. Those who are saved, those who are covered in the blood of Jesus, those who are robed in His righteousness and are legally righteous, shout for joy in the Lord. Do you meditate on your salvation? Do you ever sit and just shut your eyes and say, let me just think about what God in Christ has done for me? Do you ever think about this? If you're a Christian here this morning, all my sins are gone. My guilt has been removed. God will never deal with me according to my sins because Jesus has removed my sins. God will never reject me because I will never be unclean. I will never be a sinner in His sight. He has forgiven me all my sins and His anger is gone. He has received me into His kingdom. I am His beloved child. He loves me. He has adopted me. And my place in heaven is guaranteed because Jesus has secured it and Jesus has guaranteed it and Jesus never fails. Do you rejoice in your salvation? You know, some of us, we've been saved for many years. We just take all this for granted. Well, of course I'm saved and my sins are forgiven. Do you know, it's a tremendous thing. I was speaking to some family members this week. I'm the only Christian in my family. They're all Hindus. And one of my family members was saying, well, I'm getting old now and death is approaching. And I often think about death. And I have troubling thoughts about death. Now I've heard that, you've heard that hundreds of times from people who do not know what it means to be saved. and their thoughts trouble them. They wake up in the middle of the night. Their sins trouble them. And how they stand before God troubles them. It should never trouble us as Christians. It shouldn't trouble us. It doesn't trouble us. Our sins are gone. If the devil brings your sins to you, remind him of what Christ has done for you. Our sins are gone. We are saved through faith in Christ alone. Can I ask you this? Have you trusted in Jesus? Have you trusted in Him? Have you asked Him to save you? Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you ever gone to Him and said to Him, I cannot save myself. Will you save me? Will you get me into heaven? I cannot get into heaven myself. Have you stopped flapping? Have you stopped kicking your legs? Have you rested in Jesus? So we are not saved by our own efforts. We are saved by Christ alone. And then thirdly and finally, we are kept and protected by God. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Why? Well, he says in verse 19 that God keeps them alive in famine. Our soul, verse 20, waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. He's speaking about how God surrounds His people, protects His people, guards His people. If you're saved this morning, you're eternally saved. You will not lose your salvation. If you're saved this morning, you have a place in heaven. That place is guaranteed. You will not lose it. If you're walking with God this morning, you're a child of God, you will not lose your place in heaven. We may stray, we may drift, but you cannot lose your citizenship in heaven. You cannot lose your place in God's kingdom. You cannot vacate the kingdom of God and leave it completely. If you are truly saved, you cannot leave God's side. And that's not because you're such a good person. It's because God has got hold of you. It's because you are in Christ's hands and you're in God's hands, and no one can snatch you out of God's hands and out of Christ's hands. You can't snatch yourself. The devil can't snatch you. Your sins can't snatch you, and no one can snatch you. You are eternally protected if you're a believer today. That's why the psalmist says, shout for joy in the Lord. It is not your works that have saved you. Praise God for that. God isn't saying to you, work harder and you'll be saved. It is Christ and His blood that has saved you. Praise God for that. Jesus has done all that is necessary for your salvation. He has pleased God by His works and offering on your behalf. Your faith in Him has saved you because Christ is the Savior. And God promises to keep you and to protect you. If you're a believer, you will never cease to be a believer. You will enter heaven. Praise God for the salvation that we enjoy in Christ.